We have your smoking section right here. This is the Cannabis Radio Network. The cannabis industry is growing. Business is booming. And as new opportunities arise in newly legalized states, each market is getting more competitive. Today, it takes more than just being a good grower. Do you have the resources to market and handle this ever-changing business landscape? Let Canna Management Corporation help you grow your canna business with our vast resources and experience to make your business a fully functional service company. Financial management, HR, sales, marketing, efficiency, and more. CMC has the experience and the expertise to improve your business and help you better meet the demands of your clients and customers. Call Canna Management Corporation and let our team get you ready to grow. 415-269-8015. That's 415-269-8015. Or visit canna-management.com.
Hi, I'm Montel Williams. Most of you know me as a talk show host, but I'm also an author, actor, single father of four, avid snowboarder, and I'm also a medical marijuana patient. Living with multiple sclerosis, I'm in pain every day. Medical marijuana is my last resort, and it helps me when all other drugs have failed. If you'd like more information about medical marijuana, you can contact the Marijuana Policy Project at mpp.org or call 1-877-JOIN-MPP.
The Russ Belville Show. Chat is for friends 18 and older. We expect our chat to be civil, mature, and free from excessive profanity. If you don't like these rules, there are approximately 6 billion other chat rooms with lower standards that you can visit.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
Hello, Mr. Man. Hi. I'm working. I'm sorry. No food till this is done. This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. 4:23 here in the Pacific Time Zone, and I'm just still reeling from the interview with Governor Jesse Ventura. I don't know. Can you tell when I get nervous? I push the wrong button, hang up on the guy. I'm like, oh, great, Russ. Way to go. Hang up on the governor. What a great guy, though. Some folks in the chat room are reacting, saying, like, maybe you should have hung up on him again before he said that anti-big marijuana stuff. But, you know, I disagree with him on the issue 3 in Ohio. I think that all legalization should be passed. But I look at it from a very civil rights aspect, right? And I don't care who's getting rich, and I don't care what the industry is doing. But there are a lot of people that do, and it is fair to make the point that the laws need to be written in such a way that we can all participate in this industry, at least, you know, within reason. And one of the roadblocks that we're seeing, and this is getting exposed now by folks like Asha Bandele and Michelle Alexander and Jay-Z with his video the other day, and that is, you know, we're not inclusive. We're keeping minorities out of the business due to the way we write these laws. We write these initiatives, and they say, for the licensing, you can't be licensed if you're an ex-drug felon. Well, who got drug felonies the most? Black and Latino people disproportionately did. So we are, and it's even from the point of view, you know, of course, from a racial justice issue, it's a problem, but it's even a problem just from the idea of, don't we want the best people in our industry, right? The people that were doing this illegally have skills. they're great growers. They're great marketers. They're great sellers. Why shouldn't they be able to now do this legally? So it is fair to point out that we need to pay attention to how the laws are written and to agitate for those laws to be written in such a way that they are equitable. However, for me, it would take a really egregious law for me to be able to say, no on a legalization initiative. It would have to be, I kind of have this thing where it's like, do things get better? Do things get worse? And let's balance the two of them out. And if there's a whole lot more better than there is of worse, then let's go with it. And sometimes that's a tough decision. Like Washington's I-502, there's the better, you get legal weed. There's the worse, you get 5 nanogram DUID. And then there's the no change at all, no home grow, which you'd never had in the first place anyway. That was a tough one for me to decide, but it still just came down to the fact that I cannot tell some family that they've got to lose their dad to a marijuana conviction that shouldn't happen, that they need to take that risk for another 2 or 4 years while we try to get the perfect initiative up. It would take a big deal breaker for me to be able to reject that. And currently on the ballot, in the 5 states that are pressing for legalization, what we've got is as good or better than what we've got in the 4 legal states. So if we've accepted that these 4 legal states have set kind of a benchmark and these other initiatives are exceeding it, then what's our problem? What are we concerned about here? You know, it's not like medical marijuana. With medical marijuana, we had the first state come out, California, and had the most expansive possible medical marijuana that you could ever have. Just about anybody can get it for any reason they want. And then every state from that point on started getting more and more and more restrictive. Condition lists and registries and doctors being audited and no home grow and no cannabis even. You have to have like cannabinoid products. You can't have the actual flower, right? So the arc of medical marijuana has just gotten more and more and more restrictive. What I'm seeing here with legalization is it's getting more and more and more expansive. You got your first 2 states that passed, Colorado and Washington, right? And Washington had no home grow and a per se 5 nanogram DUID. Colorado, their legislature has added a 5 nanogram rebuttable presumption DUID. The rest of the states after that, Oregon, Alaska, didn't take that up. They didn't follow that model. They rejected it. And the 5 states that are on the ballot now rejected it as well. So we're getting better. The initiatives are creating more expansive marijuana than less. But let's take a look at a comparison. We can run down this really quick. Okay, so how much weed can you possess? An ounce, right? Well, that's across the board. The 4 legal states, Nevada, Arizona, Massachusetts, Maine, California. Oh, I'm sorry. Maine will allow you to have 2.5 ounces, 2.5, and Washington, D.C. let you have 2 ounces. How about concentrates, right? Well, Colorado, only an ounce. Washington, 7 grams. Oregon, an ounce. Alaska, an ounce. Concentrates are a bit more restrictive in these initiatives. 7 grams in Nevada, 5 grams Arizona, 5 grams Massachusetts, 8 grams California. Maine, 2.5 ounces. Maine's going to be the place to be if you want your hash, folks, let me tell you. Possession penalties. Can there be a penalty for having too much weed? Yes, and it remains over 6 ounces in Colorado, over 40 grams in Washington. That's a felony. Over 8 ounces in Oregon, over 4 ounces in Alaska. And then for the rest of these new states, the amounts vary widely. Like in California, anything over an ounce is going to be a misdemeanor. 6 months, $500. In Maine, anything up to a pound is going to be a misdemeanor, 6 months. In Massachusetts, anything up to 2 ounces is going to be decrim. In Arizona, anything up to 2.5 ounces will be decrim. But in Nevada, anything over an ounce can be a felony if it's intent to sell. And that's another concern, is does legalization remove a possession felony? Is it still possible after you legalize in your state to get a felony? Just for possession, not intent to sell or anything, like just possession. And in Colorado, over 12 ounces is a felony. Washington, 40 grams is a felony. Alaska, over 4 ounces, felony. Oregon does not have a possession felony anymore. There's no amount of weed you can possess and be charged with simple possession, just possession. Washington, D.C. does not as well. But as we look at the five states that are legalizing, Massachusetts and California are the ones that have removed any sort of possession felony. In Maine, it'll still be a felony over 16 ounces, over a pound. Arizona, over 2.5 ounces will be a felony. And again, in that Nevada one, over 1 ounce would still be a felony. Nevada's pretty restrictive. Now, we also mentioned home grow. Will these initiatives allow for home grow, unlike Washington states? Of course, Colorado, Oregon, and Alaska all allow for home grow. In the states that are pressing these initiatives, California, 6 plants per household. Maine, 6 mature plants, 12 immature plants, and an unlimited number of seedlings. Maine's got the by far the most expansive home grow of any of the states. The others, Massachusetts, 6 plants, household limit of 12. Arizona, 6 plants, household limit of 12. And then Nevada, 6 plants, household limit of 12, but a 25-mile halo. If you live within 25 miles of a pot shop, you can't home grow. Of all these initiatives, Nevada is the one that is the most restrictive of the five that are trying to pass right now. But even it is still somewhat better than Washington's I-502. All right, we've also got the home possession, right? Because you get that 1 ounce possession in your in public, but are you allowed to possess more at home? Now, the states that have done this right include Colorado and Alaska. They've decided that when you grow your 6 plants or your 4 plants or however many plants it is, that you can possess the results of your harvest. That is, your harvest should not turn you into a criminal that your plants do not turn you into. Unfortunately, in some other states, that's not the case. Here in Oregon, we're limited to 8 ounces. So you can have 4 plants, but you can only harvest 8 ounces. You better only grow 2 ounces per plant. And maybe that's me because I'm a lousy grower, but most people get more than 2 ounces of plant, don't they? Now, in the five that are coming up for a vote here, they're getting it right in 4 out of 5 of them. In Arizona, Massachusetts, Maine, and California, all of them will allow you to possess the results of your harvest from your cannabis plants. And Massachusetts adds to that 10 ounces. And what that means is, even if you're not growing at home, you could have 10 ounces on you at home. Nevada, unfortunately, does have that results of the harvest as well. So I guess I was mistaken. All of them, all 5 of them, allow you to possess the results of your harvest. It's just, again, in Nevada, you can't grow if you're within 25 miles of a shop. Now, the penalties for cultivation, if you cultivate too much marijuana, like more plants than you're supposed to, or those plants can be seen by the public, what's the penalty? Well, Colorado still has a felony for that. Washington has a felony for that because you can't cultivate at all. In Oregon, you have to have 8 plants or more. You have to, over 8 plants to get a felony. Under 8 plants, a Class B misdemeanor. And again, 4 is what you're supposed to have. In Washington, D.C., too much can be a felony. In Alaska, it's under 25 plants. Because that's their right under their privacy rights in the Constitution. But over 25 plants in Alaska is a felony. Now, looking at the states that are looking to pass legalization, Nevada has misdemeanors for the first through third offenses, and it doesn't kick to a felon until the 4th offense. In Arizona, it's a felony. In Massachusetts, public view is just a $300 fine. If people can see your plants and complain about it, it's just a $300 fine. But if you've got more than the plants you're supposed to have, $100 fine. So Massachusetts is not establishing felonies for cultivating too many plants. In Maine, too many plants will be a crime with 1 to 10 years felony. But in California, too many plants, $250 fine. Now, what about the issue of the marijuana lounges? This is something that the first 4 legal states have not done such a great job on. In Colorado, no accommodation for any sort of public lounge, public use. But in the city of Denver, they've got an initiative on the ballot that will set up a social use permit that's approved by neighborhoods that could be used not just for lounges, but for anything they approve. You could have a cannabis-approved yoga studio if you wanted to. So that's going on in Colorado, but they're still, you know, 4 years into legalization working on the issue. In Washington State, they're a felony. Here in Oregon, they're banned by the Clean Air Act. They're barely getting around to work, getting them to work in Alaska, where they are going to have some sort of pot lounge. As far as the other five states, doing a far better job. Nevada, the legislature can decide that there'll be pot lounges. In Arizona, in 2020, their legislature can decide. In Massachusetts, they can be licensed. In California, they can be allowed by localities. And in Maine, they will expressly be licensed by the state. Check us out on Marijuana Election Night 2016 right here on CannabisRadio.com. We'll have all the info for you right here.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Earn your PhD in THC monetization with CannabisRadio.com. Don't be late.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be, the Vuber way.
I'm Radical Russ from the Russ Belville Show.
We're here with Sir Richard Branson.
Far more damage has been done to people by the current approach.
Jim McMahon.
You know, a lot of the coaches are old school. You know, he used to just yell at us, go, oh, you bunch of pot smokers.
John Popper on the telephone.
You know, I think in the 60s, there was that kind of, the bigotry wasn't so common.
It's the Russ Belville Show, the NPR of POT, weekdays live at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, exclusively on CannabisRadio.com.
Marijuana is not addictive. But listening to the Russ Belville Show is...
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
I have a package here for Radical Rick. Is there a Radical Rick here? How about a Rick Russ? Any Rick Russ? Somebody named Freddie Farrakh has sent him a package. Anybody? What is that? Sounds like a skunk. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 40 after the hour here, and I want to talk a little bit about this this banning of kratom. Heard about this, right? Last month, the DEA placed the active ingredients of kratom, which is an herbal substance that has opiate-like pain-killing effects. They placed this kratom into the emergency temporary Schedule 1 status. Schedule 1 drug, absolutely illegal. This kratom is derived from a tree that's native to Southeast Asia, and it's been sold in head shops now for years, and nobody really has given it much thought or attention. But now the stores have until the end of this month to remove the now illegal drug from their shelves. But the placement of kratom in this temporary Schedule 1 defies the DEA's own criteria for Schedule 1. There's no evidence that kratom is a drug with the serious addictive qualities to create severe psychological or physical dependence. And in comparison to other drugs in Schedule 1, kratom has relatively few users, so It doesn't seem to have a high potential for abuse. And of course, the most important point is that Schedule I drugs supposedly have no currently accepted medical use. But the DEA itself acknowledged in its statements banning kratom that it has medical properties. I pulled up the Federal Register. This is their actual quote from the DEA. Kratom has a history of being used as an opium substitute in Southeast Asia. Kratom has also been used to self-treat chronic pain and withdrawal symptoms from opioid use. Especially concerning, reports note users have turned to kratom as a replacement for other opioids, such as heroin. In the United States, kratom is misused to self-treat chronic pain and opioid withdrawal symptoms, with users reporting its effects to be comparable to prescription opioids. Really? So, it can be used to treat pain, it can be used to treat withdrawal, and it's a safer drug than the heroin that they're trying to get off of, and that's not a medical use. Well, of course. Of course. The DEA's definition of no accepted medical use doesn't mean that people are using the substance successfully for medical purposes, like treating pain and overcoming opiate addiction. No. DEA means that the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, hasn't approved it for medical use because substances don't have medicinal properties until the FDA says so. You know, like cannabis. All those people you see it helping, it's all in your mind, man. FDA didn't say that was medicine. So the DEA, they've initiated this emergency scheduling, right? Because kratom overdoses were in the headlines. No, opiate overdoses are in the headlines. But they initiate this emergency scheduling because they say there's, quote, an imminent hazard to the public safety, end quote. Imminent hazard. Okay, imminent hazard. We're about to be overrun by kratom overdoses. There's going to be kratom junkies roaming the streets and committing crimes, right? Well, here's their backing. The DEA points to 15 deaths from 2014 to 2016. 5 a year. 15 deaths. And 660 poison control calls from 2010 to 2016 nationwide. So that's 110 a year. That's about 9 a month, right? 9 poison control calls a month on kratom. That's their evidence of this imminent hazard. Now, of course, their evidence is a little shaky. The 15 supposed deaths, the kratom activists say that's has to do with interaction with other drugs that they're not mentioning, alcohol and other types of prescription drugs that were also contributors to the death in those cases. Failed to mention that part. And then if you look at other products that the DEA isn't that concerned about, you can find some that have similar death statistics, like 5-hour energy drinks. You know those 5-hour energy shots? 13 deaths in a 4-year period. 13 deaths. And also consider that like 9 or 10 poison calls a month across the entire U.S. over 6 years are far fewer calls than we get for common, over-the-counter, unscheduled drugs. For example, there were 2,516 calls for caffeine overdoses in 2013 alone. Yeah, over 200 a month for caffeine overdoses. And we're going to worry about kratom at 9 or 10. Okay. So don't expect that the argument that kratom is helping people is going to resonate with the DEA. We've been pointing out for decades that cannabis has medical utility and it has relative safety compared to the other drugs it replaces. That doesn't work with the DEA. In fact, when we make that argument about how it's a safer drug, DEA spokesman Melvin Patterson said, quote, "What message are you saying when you say this drug is less dangerous than that drug?" end quote. Without a shred of irony, that the entire existence of the organization he is speaking for is based on a Controlled Substance Act whose job it is to determine which drugs are more harmful than the others. So this Melvin Patterson, also in his quote, tries to blame medical researchers for not studying kratom before it hit Schedule 1. He said, quote, "Shame on everyone who wasn't researching it before. Now you start hearing stories about how it's benefiting someone suffering with arthritis. If someone can find a medical use by it, by all means, we're in favor of it," end quote. Right. By putting it into Schedule 1 where they can't study it. Yeah, we should have studied it in advance, proven that it was medical, before all these people started using it. Otherwise, the DEA has to stop them from using it because we haven't proven it's useful. And as an emergency to protect the public safety, we've got to prevent researchers from studying it. That's what you're getting out of your tax dollars from the DEA. Unbelievable. So, people didn't take this lying down. On Tuesday, and I didn't even know there was like kratom organizations and a kratom movement and a kratom community, but there is. On Tuesday, hundreds of them from all over the country who are using kratom medically protested in front of the White House. The same exact spot in front of Lafayette Park where I met with the DCMJ guys. We protested weed in the streets. U.S. News reported on this. Here's some of the quotes from the people who were protesting there. Quote, "If they don't have insurance and can't afford medications, they find a cheaper alternative in kratom." That was a store owner from Maine. Quote, "Kratom saved me. I was a bad heroin addict," end quote. A man from North Carolina. A high school teacher from Virginia talks about using kratom tea to deal with painful arthritis because, quote, "He uses just enough to take the edge off so I can get through my day standing," end quote. Because his prescribed opiate painkillers were too strong and addictive. So the guy can teach class. He can teach class in comfort, whereas the pharmaceuticals would leave him too doped up to be of any good to the students. A store owner in Colorado made his way all the way to D.C. and says his kratom use steered him away from alcoholism. And another distributor of kratom, explained how his 70-year-old Mormon father in Utah uses kratom, saying, quote, "He felt foggy, lethargic, and all he wanted to do was sit around the house. But now he's swimming, he's joined the health club, he's gardening again, his whole life has changed," end quote. So senior citizen Mormons are for this. And we've got to protect the public. Now, The Washington Post reports that this protest and the follow-up comments have caught the DEA by surprise following their ban. The very same DEA spokesperson, that Melvin Patterson we were talking about earlier, the guy who earlier in the week was dismissing all the people for the medical thing, "Oh, you should have studied it earlier." This guy seems to have changed his tune. This is from the Washington Post. Quote, The Washington Post writes, "The ban would automatically sunset after 2 years unless the DEA acts," and spokesman Melvin Patterson said he could see the agency moving kratom from the highly restrictive Schedule 1 to the less restrictive Schedules 3 to 5, reserved for minimally addictive drugs with accepted medical use. Patterson said, quote, "I don't see it being Schedule 2 or higher because that would be a drug that's highly addictive. Kratom's at a point where it needs to be recognized as medicine. I think we're going to find out that it probably does, end quote. He cautioned that research would be necessary to know for sure how to best regulate the drug, and it's safest to put kratom on Schedule 1 in the meantime. Still, Patterson noted that the public response to the ban has been overwhelming. So the guy comes out and even admits it. It needs to be recognized as medicine. Probably it does. It shouldn't be Schedule 2 because that would be a drug that's highly addictive. He is admitting that the placement of kratom in Schedule 1, even on a temporary basis, flies in the face of the criteria for Schedule 1. There are thousands of people currently using kratom in a safe, responsible manner to treat their medical conditions. But since the FDA didn't say they could do that, DEA has to protect them all by banning kratom for 2 years, even as they admit that after those 2 years, it would probably be a drug they'd allow people to use in a safe, responsible manner to treat their medical conditions. So all you're doing with this, DEA, is sentencing Kratom users to 2 years at least of having to use ineffective, toxic, side effect laden pharmaceuticals when they could be using this herbal substance that they've been using for years without any problems from you guys or anybody else. Folks, the DEA's actions have nothing to do with protecting the safety of drug users and everything to do with protecting the profits of drug companies. Kratom's problem, like cannabis, is that it's an herb that lacks a doctor to prescribe it, a pharmacist to dispense it, an insurance company to pay for it, and a patent, a barcode, and a hefty price markup for a pharmaceutical company. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll close up shop here from beautiful legal Potland, Oregon. We'll get that Jesse Ventura interview posted as soon as possible as well, if you missed any of it. And I'll see you all tomorrow in Boston for the Boston Freedom Rally. Stay tuned. We're back in just 2 minutes.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Forwarding the cause of legalization and research of the growing cannabis industry, one podcast at a time. The Cannabis Radio Network.
Oh, Lady Marijuana, lama tell you something now. About a game for your phone, gonna make you say, wow! The game's about the game of growing cannabis for cash. Grow the seeds, sell the bud, put the savings in the stash. Little by little, your empire grows large. Put different celebrities inside your entourage. You can choose to play with Snoop or me or Cheech and Chong. Cypress Hill, Willie Nelson, Wiz Khalifa with a bong. The name of the game is Hemping, that's the point. Download and play while you light yourself a joint. The business of cannabis should be no crime. Hemp Inc. is even hot proved by the man who run High Times. Oh yeah, get it on Android and iOS today. Marijuana Llama out. Got to tend to me own crops, you know. Money don't make itself. Hemp Inc.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Adrian, I finished it. Adrian.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
Remember, friends, there's more to life than marijuana. I just can't remember what it is. Why'd I come in here? This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, everyone. As we wind things up, a quick reminder, I'll be in Boston this weekend at the Boston Freedom Rally. Looking forward to seeing the East Coast cannabis family. I will be speaking at 1:15 on the main stage. And then, this is Saturday, and then at 3:30, I'm moderating a panel on jury nullification. Love that topic. Then on Sunday, I'm speaking again, this time 12:30 at the bandstand. And then real quick, got to rush right over at 1:15, where I am on a panel on Reefer Madness and the media. So we'll bring you recordings from Boston Freedom Rally, some of the speakers, some of the bands, some of the panels. We'll bring that on next week's shows. Got some great shows. Oh, actually, I lied. I am so sorry. I lied to my chatter. Someone in the chat room is asking, will there be a show Monday? There won't. Sorry, there won't be a show Monday because it'll be a travel day. I'll be coming back. But Tuesday through Friday next week, we'll have shows, including our marijuana election night preview continues on Tuesday. We'll have another one of the representatives from the 9 different states that are voting on some sort of marijuana reform. On Wednesday, we've got our Hemp Day Hump Day update. We'll get Doug Fine to tell us what's going on as far as marijuana hemp news and the election. We've got on Thursday next week, retired Deputy Sheriff Paul Stiegletter will be joining us from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. And of course, we'll bring you all the news and the data you need to make informed decisions here as we continue throughout this legalization of marijuana. Real excited. I love going out to Boston for the Freedom Rally. The bands there are amazing. It's always a joy to get to see the bands that are performing. It runs noon to 8 on Saturday at the Boston Common and noon to 6 on Sunday at the Common. So if you're out there in the Boston area, make your way up. Chris Goldstein will be there for the first time in 3 years. Chris, of course, one of my favorite East Coast activists and the man that created my career. He actually created the Normal Daily Audio Stash that I took over that became this show. Without him, you wouldn't have me. Chris was on federal probation for 2 years because he smoked a joint at the Liberty Bell in protest of prohibition. And smoked at the Liberty Bell and got 2 years probation. And that meant he couldn't go to the Boston Freedom Rally. Well, that probation is up and Chris Goldstein is back. So we're going to have ourselves a good time. I'm sure Mike Crawford will be out there. Mike Cann. And Lilith Astaroth, that woman rocks. I can't wait to see her band playing again. Going to be a lot of fun, and I hope that those of you who are on the East Coast can make your way up there. It's, what is it, 27th, 28th? It's I think it's 2 years older than Hemp Stocks, or Hemp Fest. So I think it's the, I think that's the one. And also next weekend, we have got the Portland Hemp Stock that will be taking place. Come out and join us here in Portland, Oregon next weekend. And I'm working with a news crew from CBS affiliate in Fresno, California. They're going to be flying up here to Portland, and I'm going to be showing them the world of legal weed in Oregon. We're going to visit a grow. We're going to interview at a pot shop. I'm going to check out a little bit of the hemp stock and talk a lot about politics and tax revenue and jobs and testing and all the issues that California will be looking at over the next few years that we here in Oregon and Washington State have been working on for a while. Glad to have them up here. But of course, that sound means that we're all out of time here. Time flies when you legalize. Thanks for being here. We'll be back on Tuesday with more news and interviews you can use for the cannabis community. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, we thank you for your support. Make sure you're supporting our advertisers as well. Let them know you heard it on CannabisRadio.com. I'm Radical Russ, live from beautiful legal potland, Oregon. Thanks for being here, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.